Hey everybody, what's going on? This is just a quick note before we get into the exclusive interview with local indie rock band Soulfound. We were so preoccupied with the goings-on of the weekend that we failed to mention or wish anybody a happy Cinco de Mayo, a happy and safe one at that. The show itself took place the 4th of May in St. Petersburg, Florida. For our first-time listeners, thanks for tuning in. This is not a typical episode. This is a sort of crossover event between the music blog and the actual podcast. We get into it at the end of the interview about TV, movie, all that kind of good stuff. But the majority of this is a music interview, and I'm honored to have been a part of the whole process. Thanks to Soulfound and Weak Sauce, the Gita, and Elevated for stellar performances all around, as it were. All the fans that showed up, minus a couple hiccups, the show went off without a hitch, and it was just probably one of the best shows and experiences I've ever had in the music business, if you want to call it that. Of course, you want to call it that. So the goal is to have this podcast out before midnight of Cinco de Mayo. Not sure if that's going to happen or not. We're upgrading. We're trying new things. We are now on SoundCloud. This is the first episode ever that we're allowing on SoundCloud, also on iTunes. And I think that's about it. Also, this episode of A Week Late is brought to you by Wheezy Dogs, serving Tampa Bay's finest hot dogs. And I know that sounds like a joke, but it's really not. Longtime friend, we call her Wheezy. Not going to use her real name, but for everybody that knows, she has a hot dog cart, a gourmet hot dog cart, and she's not joking when she says finest hot dogs in Tampa Bay. Go check that out. WheezyDogs.com, I believe it is. WEEZYDOGS.com. And if she doesn't already have one, you should be able to check her out on Facebook. So there's the plug. I hope you enjoy this episode. It's a special one, and I was glad to be a part of it. That's it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling your friends. The show is a success. Thanks to everybody involved, everybody that helped, everybody that came out. I'm going to stop talking. Enjoy the show. Cheers.
And we're still here after all this time. Most of our fears have realized. We're getting old and we're forgetting lies. And the pain swallows our shine. And that's the war inside this place.
Welcome everybody to A Week Late Podcast. My name is Darren, your host, a.k.a. Analysis 49, for all you hip-hoppers and gamers out there. This is a special episode, fuck, I forgot what episode this is.
54.
54? Thank you, sir. It's a cross bonus episode, music episode. We're doing some new things, some different things, and tonight I have, Soulfound with me. We have some history. They have a show coming up tomorrow in St. Pete. By the time you guys hear this, though, It'll be a day after the show, so you're late, just like the podcast denotes. What else? I think we're just going to get into intros. You want to say your name and what it is you do for the band?
Chris Piccolo, I play guitar.
Right on.
I'm G2, I play guitar as well.
My name is Ivan, and I sing and play bass.
Sam, and I play guitar.
Hey, there he is.
Guitar dude.
Disco, the Cubano, slinging it low, beating the drums, my friend.
Hell yeah.
Doing all the work over here. Well, most of them.
The White Quest Love.
Yeah.
So that's it. Just so the listeners know who's speaking when we ask questions. It's free form. If you have to leave in the middle of this, don't feel bad, because we are actually working on a later schedule than we first planned. For the returning listeners, thank you for supporting the show. For the new listeners, this is a little bit, this is the second music episode we've ever done, but we're trying to expand things for the music blog and for the movie podcast. We will get into movies and TV eventually, but we're going to talk about mostly a little bit of history first, I guess. Ivan, if you want to start off with why Soulfound and maybe the whole history behind the band from the beginning. I don't know how far back you want to go.
How much time we got?
Yeah.
Well, quick, the Cliff Notes version of the history of Soulfound is we formed the college dorms in Gainesville at UF back in 99, and with one purpose, and that was to meet ladies and get hammered for free.
Indeed.
And we did achieve that for a few years while in Gainesville. Then 2001, we moved down to Tampa Bay. No, 2001? 2002. Sorry, 2002. And we've been in this area ever since, until 2009 when we took a break.
Right now, you guys are five deep, right? So did you start with five people in the group at all times, or has it fluctuated?
No, we've always been a quartet, two guitars, you know, bass and drums. But we have had the, it's not really a misfortune, it's kind of like Spinal Tap, the Spinal Tap curse.
Yeah.
But for us, it's been guitar players.
Movie reference.
Yeah. It's been a guitar player situation for us. We've gone through six, we went through six guitar players throughout our tenure. And we just, you know, we have good history, we're still friends, and we felt like it would be more fun to have three guitar players this time around. Why not?
There was one of my favorite periods in your musical experimentation when you were a sextet.
Mm-hmm.
Can you maybe elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. You want to talk about the sextet?
Sure. Our friends in Weak Sauce, who are playing with us
yes.
on the 4th, they're a great band, and they broke up as well.
Around the same time, if I'm not
around
mistaken,
before,
right?
A little bit before.
We were towards the end of our tenure, and they really liked us, and we liked them. We played together for many years, so we basically just jammed together, and we came up with some newer songs that incorporated the two drum sets and the trumpet. And it was a fun time, you know. It was really experimental, and it was different for the band. And we ended up forming a band with those guys after Soulfound.
Yeah.
And Rise of Saturn.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool.
Woo!
So, you know, it was an interesting time in the band, for sure.
For me, I just liked the difference. It was like, we've been a rock band, you know, quartet pretty much entire time, and me and Disco really were into a little more experimental music at the time. And, you know, Sam, we were listening to a lot of Mars Volta. And we just wanted to kind of expand on that and have some fun. Two, who the hell doesn't want two drummers in their band? I know I do. So that was fun.
I think that was the most fun when people walked in and you guys were setting up for. I remember writing an article. I want to go back a little bit and explain a little bit of the history. Aaron Field, if we end up using any of this video, I know for the podcast listeners, it's very rare that we do anything with video. But like I said, we're changing the format. Aaron Field, he's been with us on the fan side of things for the music. He does his own music, and one night, actually for about a year or so, we were running open mic night at Pegasus Lounge, and I think he was the one that turned me on to you guys. I'm not sure 100%, but that was, what, was that right? You can speak.
I do not recall. So long ago.
Right.
It was like 2003 or 5 or something. I don't know.
But for anybody that didn't hear that, he said it was probably around 2003 to 2005, anywhere in between there. You guys had, that's how I met one of my founding members for the music blog after that whole thing happened. And I believe that's when you came in after Bond, or no?
No, when Aaron was in the band, he actually picked up when guitar player Dick left in like late 06, I want to say. And Aaron's just
Dick.
Yeah,
the 06. Yeah, I think it was mostly with Aaron. Yeah.
Yeah, 07 with Aaron and and then Jonathan after that.
I came down to fill in.
Yeah, but you filled in in between.
So
you filled in between.
I filled in 07, September 07.
Yeah, Pick filled in between Dick and Aaron.
Yeah, that's.
And then when Aaron left, G2 here came down to fill in then for those shows until then Jonathan came aboard.
I guess I skipped the whole part where I introduced you as a rock band. I just said a band. It could have been a marching band for all these people know. For anybody, this is mostly a treat for people that are already Soulfound fans, though. Although
there's no more after tonight.
Yeah, because the only way you're really going to appreciate this interview is if you have been to any of the shows and have listened to any of their music. When I first started, going back to the Weak Sauce thing, I wrote an article for the blog before anybody knew what the fuck it was, and I think I called that mashup Soul Sauce.
Yeah.
And I wrote a blog about it, and it got a lot of hits, actually. I at that point is when I sort of forced myself onto the band as their runaround promoter for some reason. I just got addicted to that whole thing of live shows and the fun that you can actually see in their faces when they're playing the music. It's not like it's very rehearsed, but it's not like, okay, we're just going through the motions. There's always something going on stage. There's always movement. There's always animation, and that feeds, I think, into the crowd. I can't wait to see Weak Sauce tomorrow either. For anybody that doesn't know, they're like a ska band out of Clearwater, right?
Yeah, they're kind of like a reggae punk mix.
Right.
High energy as well.
Can you name some of the other acts that would have, by the time you're listening to, would
have
played?
Playing tomorrow.
Right.
The Gita is a band that was in town for years, like 10 years ago. They were one of the bigger bands in town. And Joran, who works for Creative Loafing, he's the front man for that band. And they just recently got together again for the first time in a while, and they're playing first. Then Elevated is also getting back together for the show. Elevated and Weak Sauce play together a lot.
Yeah, I recognize that name.
And then we in turn play with both of them a lot because we always ended up playing together. So Elevated's getting together after a couple years off. Those guys are awesome, and then Weak Sauce. And there's a guy, Pete Berwick, who's opening up the set, who's the acoustic guitar player guy. So
right on.
So nice, nostalgia-filled evening.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Even in practice tonight, listening to some of the older songs, I was like, yeah, for some reason, it just makes me feel good.
Someone once said that it was Iron Maiden meets Goo Goo Dolls.
Iron Maiden meets Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah.
All right.
That's Rock 104, wasn't it?
Yeah, the older stuff.
Do you take that as a compliment?
I like Iron Maiden, and I like the Goo Goo Dolls at the time. So
there you go.
Why the hell not?
I'll think any other band right now could say they sound like Iron Maiden Goo Goo Dolls.
After they got used to me leeching, I suppose, I decided to start helping out. And like when you guys started doing your mini tours, I was working for a hotel that shall remain nameless. but I shall say that through the entire time we were like doing the mini tours and stuff like that, never once did any of the hotels call us and complain about rent rooms.
Daytona?
Yeah, Daytona. I wanted to get into some of the shows like Daytona that were super interesting nights I won't forget for good reasons and bad reasons. But I wanted to start helping out probably against their will at first, but they were gracious, and here we are this many years later, trying to. You guys never really had a chance to put that nail in the coffin for all your fans, so this is the one time that they can get back together and say, this is it, this is one last hurrah. What were some of your favorite tours when you were going running around? Daytona was...
It was a good night.
Yeah, it was good times. We didn't sleep for the most part, and we watched the sun come up on the beach.
Which is typical for many of our performances.
Yeah.
I did a Cleveland tour. It was pretty awesome.
Now, see, I was only around for your Florida shows and dates when you guys... I was actually not even aware that you... Did you tour outside of the state, or?
Oh yeah, I mean, we played all over. I mean, mostly
southeast. Mostly,
I'm tired, man.
Yeah,
I sang for a few hours, man.
Hang in there. We're hanging in there.
Yeah. We played all, you know, mostly in the southeast. We hit Florida pretty hard. I mean, our philosophy was if we can't make it at home, you know, can't really do much more outside, you know. But you want to talk about that tour a little bit? That
you mentioned Cleveland
Spring Break tour, 2001.
Yeah, I mean, it was we had a bunch of new material, and I mean that may have been just we played so much in such a short period of time. That may have been the tightest this band, I mean, at least in my experience,
sure.
has ever been. I mean, I remember coming off of that playing songs like, gosh, man, I don't know, the all the 2K1 songs, man, and then the older stuff. I mean, it's just it was
off
tight
of
coming
off of
like,
what album would that be?
That was
2001.
American Anything EP,
yeah.
Probably.
American Anything was the first one.
Yeah, no, that was like our third EP.
Yeah, no longer in print.
Yeah. We kind of rolled in a lot of those songs that we liked from that EP into Tomorrow Can Wait.
Oh, that's right.
American Anything.
That. Yep.
And actually, and Don't Go. I think Don't Go.
They were a little different from record to record, but for the most part, the same exact tunes.
Pretty much.
Pretty
yeah.
similar.
Pretty similar.
Oh, you also had a Spanish album that I was a big fan of.
The Spanish EP.
The Spanish EP. Wasn't that Tomorrow Can Wait in Spanish?
No, it was only three songs. It was a Spanish version of Don't Go. Sorry, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish version of Day to Day,
mm-hmm.
the original version, and then a new song, Vivir Otra Vez, which was like a ballad.
Yeah. Which I believe was huge in South America for a while, wasn't it?
I wouldn't say it was huge, but you know, we got some plays, I guess.
All right.
We did it because, you know, our manager at the time, you know, kind of said, let's try that since you're multi-ethnic. You know, we had a couple of Latinos and a guy that looked like a Mexican. So we figured,
I was the only white guy.
Close enough, right?
And we just kind of had fun with it.
Was he Hawaiian? He guys, yeah. was like the default Mexican?
Yeah. yeah.
Mexican.
Nah,
that's funny.
He was a good guy, but
obviously. He was a dick. I mean, come on.
You were talking about... some of the favorite songs some of the songs that you like to play, what are some of your favorites, if you have any?
Yeah, we should
go around the horn.
Yeah.
We should go around that.
That's a good, that's probably a good thing to do.
I mean, I like all the songs that feature guitar. I mean, it's just because, not just coming to guitar,
sure,
but
sure.
you don't hear it every day. And, you know, a lot of the bands that are doing it today are kind of, they do it in a very cheesy way, and it's not true, like Iron Maiden and you
right,
know,
right.
older bands that did that. I mean, when I think of harmonies, people are like, oh, Iron Maiden, but I think of the harmonies that we play, and even some of the songwriting is more like Thin Lizzy than anything. If you dig through the Thin Lizzy tracks, you know, back in the late 70s, you know, that those guitar tones and those textures and some of those arrangements are similar to some of the stuff that Soulfound's done. So yeah, I think it's. I love all the songs. Even after I left in 2004, you know, the record that was created after that. I think that, you know, that record's awesome also. I don't know, man. Just the songs, the early songs. Just you know, I have a sweet spot for those songs.
Yeah.
Because they're so different from anything else that that you hear. And from a live show perspective, they kind of knock you off your seat when you. You got a show, and it's hard to follow act like that.
Yeah, it really is. Before you answer the same question, I would find myself driving shuttle for a said hotel back in the day, and I would pop in the Soulfound CD, and I would text these guys that everybody, you know, I'm taking a bunch of college kids to the mall or whatever, and everybody's rocking out in the back, you know, to Soulfound, and they have no idea who it was, but for that 5 minutes.
that music made them just as happy as it made me every time I played it. And I would find myself, you know, whistling those tones that people don't usually pick up or write in music. One thing to add, though, Ivan, is that you're not only the vocalist or the lead singer, but you've written all of these songs, right?
I mean, the majority of the stuff I've been the source for, but I mean, it's, you know, Disco throws in his own beats. I don't think I think maybe one song in the history that I ever said, you know, here's a beat, I want you to play this. And I think it was Rush Hour because it was already a loop, you know?
Yeah.
For the most part, it's like, you know, everybody kind of can play. Like, Sam usually kind of came up with, you know, his own parts. Sam has a very unique way of playing, so it doesn't matter if I even tell him what to play. He's going to play what he wants. but mostly for the rhythm and stuff like that. And the early stuff, like the two-guitar harmony idea, that was kind of like what I was coming from, and that's what I really wanted to see at the time. So, but when, you know, G2 was in the band, you know, we were a little more experimental and progressive, and some of those songs were just kind of hodgepodge, riffs together and all over the place, and a lot of shredding, and, you know, we were really into the showmanship of the playing of it. Then then later on with the American Anything EP, and then we got into Tomorrow Can Wait, we kind of focused more on songwriting as opposed to just kind of just going over the top with the music. And I think Tomorrow Can Wait was a great album for me.
Yeah,
I think
it was.
It's a very, like, it's definitely the evolution of what we were doing. And then
I like the cover art for that.
Thanks. That was a school in Santiago, in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
My guitar tones came a long ways, dude.
Yeah.
I find myself, like I said, whistling certain guitar riffs that most people, like, wouldn't normally pay attention to. A term that comes up a lot in your practice is, well, at least for tonight anyway, was layers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's... there's so much going on in one single song, especially if you're a musician or an artist, you can appreciate it a little bit more. What's some of your favorite tunes that you like to play, or what's your favorite one to listen to? It doesn't have to be necessarily your favorite,
I think,
to play, but...
Yeah, I think I have a different perspective when it comes to this. I was there in the beginning. I mean, Ivan and I started the band. So for me, it's been great. I mean, I quit the band early. I think how long was it? 2 years, right?
Yeah. It was like December 2000,
yeah.
maybe?
Yeah, it was during Christmas because you were in Dominican,
yeah.
and you got pretty pissed off at me.
Yeah, but you call me in Dominican and you tell me you're quitting the band.
Now, I quit Diecast to join after Gary quit because I had filled in for Dickle.
So wait, you were away on business or vacation?
No, vacation. This guy...
And he bailed on you while you were on vacation.
I didn't want to go to Jacksonville for a show, and then just kind of, in a way, mentally it set me off, and I just didn't want to play Jackrabbits.
I remember...
We had a gig set up, and anyways,
was awesome, bro.
The point was,
Bullet Boy. Was it Bullet Boy?
Fucking Bullet
Boy. I've kind of been, I have a different perspective, I think, because I've been able to observe it from afar.
Uh-huh.
And it's you know, every time I listen to the new albums and the day they did, and I listen to a lot of them because, you know, every time I came back every, like, 6 years to play with these guys. And but every time, like, I knew the songs because I listened to them a lot. Like,
yeah.
I didn't just. You know, go away from it. Every time they put something new, I would get it. I would listen to it constantly.
Yeah, that's where I was at too.
Yeah, and I would run with it. I would listen to the songs, the Tomorrow Can Wait album, listen to all that, and I really enjoyed it. And every time they would put out a new one, I'm like, oh man, they're getting better. It sounds better.
Yeah.
And I always thought this is it. You know, they're gonna do it. And you know, I'm very proud of that. And I always, you know, in reflection, I was always very proud of everything that they did after the fact.
I was always just, even though, like, I make jokes about it, but it's kind of like an inside thing, even though I sort of attached myself to them, after a while, everybody kind of just melded, but I saw the progression,
yeah,
like you're talking about, from a third person, like, from a third party standpoint, with the quartet changing to the sextet. You know, changing around, even subtle changes from guitar player to guitar player, you can see, like you were talking about before, your own style and whatnot. I felt that way with the Fire release party. I felt that night that if people don't get these guys and they don't blow up either as Soul Found or Rise of Saturn, whatever the case may be, the world's missing out on something. So I had to, I felt like it was my personal responsibility to tell everybody I knew about these dudes, because good dudes, first of all, the music's fucking killer, and their shows are just energy from beginning to end. I know I don't want to make Sam talk too much, but
Sam's going through a thing.
One, maybe a one-word answer.
He's training to become a monk.
You need to get your chromosome, right?
Oh shit.
And a testicle.
Okay, first of all,
come on, man.
One thing I love about Sam is that he's kind of like the little brother of the band. He's fuzzy. I never partaked in
TGS. If you say jump, I say
I never partook in the ribbing, per se. I let that sort of be a family thing, because, again, I was an outsider looking in. But your favorite song to play, or your favorite song to listen to, or both?
Favorite song to probably play is probably Occupation. It's just got a very different beat and different feel to it, which I came to Ivan once with this idea for the song, and I just knew that he would be probably the only one on this planet to be able to actually bring it in full circle and bring it into what it could be.
Wow, that's high praise, sir.
And
because we're recording.
And we hashed it out, and he came up with a couple things for it, and it all kind of fell into place. And it's probably my favorite song to play live. As far as probably all time favorite song by Soul Found in general, before I was in the band, I probably listened to Don't Go probably at least once every single day. And that was just...
Well, that's one thing that I didn't even know, is that you were a fan before you were a member.
I was living in Clearwater, and I just had, you know, a couple CDs that my sister gave me to listen to, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to see them play because they were in Gainesville. And at that time, even though the age difference isn't too much, I still wasn't old enough to get into bars.
Wow.
So regardless, A, you know, 2 hours away, and B, couldn't get into any of the bars that they were playing at. And then once they moved into town, I knew that was my chance to at least see them. And then I was able to see my buddy Piccolo a little bit more.
Yeah, I had no idea, because that would be, and this is probably like Ivan's worst nightmare, but that would be like me coming on and filling up a spot, because I'm a huge fan. At this point I could probably do some backup vocals.
Well,
give me some cowbell up in this bitch.
It was definitely really big shoes to fill, because like me, I mean, I came from a lot of punk rock, pop punk, and always aspired to be able to, you know, pretty much shred, as if it were. But I was never really that kind of a player, but I knew they were. And I knew that, you know, regardless, if they let me in the band, that I was gonna be the worst player in the band.
Oh Jesus!
So like, I knew I had a
man.
No. Like, and that's more of a compliment to you guys than is an insult to me.
Right.
Because even though I don't think I was like the most amazing guitar player, you know, I could fucking hold my own. Really, the best thing for me that ever happened to me, not only in my life but also as a guitar player, was joining this band, because it really pushed me to become a better player and better musician.
Cool.
And I'll always thank the stars for that.
Very well said, sir. Well put.
I'm going to go back in my cave.
Sure.
Now.
Save your voice for tomorrow, man.
Sam, I just want to note here, Sam was kind of the groom replacement for me when I left. So when I left Soul Found, Sam, I taught Sam the songs. Uh-huh. I taught Sam my parts, because Dick was the air guitarist at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when I left, Sam joined, and I thought he was a good fit for the band, and he's passionate about the music and everything else. I had him smack me in the head a couple times, but I'm just kidding.
Why
are you guys making me out like desperate?
You're the asshole.
I'm a benevolent leader.
Do you? Okay. Well, that could have been.
Anyway. So that's given our time. But Sam, I think did a good job. He stepped up. But the tough part now is that we're doing this reunion, and Sam knows all my parts. Gary knows all of his parts. There's no Dick, so. So we had to relearn all this stuff and learn the different parts and do a three-way.
This is part. I think Sam's been the longest guitar player.
I was just about to
for
say
the
that.
Whole band. So we,
I've always known this band with Sam.
Is the one who's been there the longest at the end of the day.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
He's a glutton for punishment.
You would have to be apparently. Disco, what about you, man? I know you fucking I don't know if I was the first one to do it, but I started calling you the White Questlove.
Yeah.
Because you're the fucking, in my opinion, you're the best drummer that I know. And I know a lot of drummers. And I actually always kind of tell them about you,
Tough question. Why is he the White Questlove?
Because the real Questlove is black.
He's the Cuban Questlove.
I didn't know you were Cuban. Is that true?
He's Cuban.
Oh, well, shit. The Cuban Questlove.
Yeah.
And Cuban is spelled with a Q in this particular.
Yes.
From Chicago, baby.
All right. Well, what's your favorite one to rock out on?
It's hard to say for me, Live, I think for me as a drummer, I changed the band's sound immediately when I joined it. I mean, I didn't, change what they were doing.
Dan, when did you join them?
Yeah, haven't you always been the drummer?
Well, not exactly, no. They were around for about a year before I joined, and there's actually a great story about how I came to join the band.
Do tell.
1999, I graduated high school, so I went to the University of Florida, and these guys were already there for a year. They were a year older than me. But I was, the summer before I started, I basically was playing with a band and recording with a band there. And I started playing with that band, and these guys knew guys in that band. And I went to high school with them, But basically, one night, one fateful evening.
I've never heard this story before. This is fascinating for me.
G2 came to a gathering with the band that I was currently in.
By the way, on purpose, this is all orchestrated. Specifically to get Dan to join the band.
No shit. Okay.
No, I'm serious.
Conspiracy.
And we had a CD we had recorded with a very fantastic drummer, Nomar Negroni, who plays in Negroni's trio.
Grammy Award winning.
Grammy Award winner.
Friends with all of us. He's the man.
Very cool.
The best drummer you're gonna hear. He's a very young guy. Good friend of mine. And we had recorded the CD.
We'll definitely look him up when I re-listen to this.
Negroni's trio. Check it out.
Okay.
It's fantastic. And it's Latin jazz, but we recorded the CD, and I specifically went to this party to get Dan, because I knew that this guy was going to be the guy for the band.
Thrown by the dudes in the band that I was in.
For the band that I was in.
Wow.
I was infiltrating this.
No shit.
But I specifically had
a little bit of double
in
there.
And as a freshman, mind you, in college, I was able to not only outdrink the guys in the band I was currently in, who were sophomores, they got so bombed that they ended up getting passed out. And then I remember he got so bombed that I witnessed him put out a cigarette in a young girl's hair.
Oh my God, dude!
Not incriminating. We don't know. We don't remember who she was.
Right now, there's a girl listening to this.
However,
they're smushing a fucking patch of hair because of this guy.
We consumed some, craft beer and some edible treats. Too much stuff in the stomach.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody got passed out. But I was showing up as a freshman, and my boy over here,
G2.
I played the CD.
G2 played the CD.
And Negroni was jamming.
I'm gonna have to edit out every time they say his real name, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
With the
note to self, edit point.
Edit. It was a crazy night. It was the craziest thing that could have happened early on in the game for me being in college.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I never even knew that.
Yeah.
And
it caused drama. It was crazy.
It was a lot of drama. I wasn't happy with
it
because I felt bad. I was
in fact,
I knew the guys. I was I remember sitting with G2 here in the dorm room at Beatty Towers, where I used to live, sitting down there going like, man, we just totally gutted these guys, and they're our friends. He's like, I don't care. I'm like, he's a good drummer. I'm like, yeah. He taught me a very valuable business lesson.
And in their defense, it was my decision.
It was.
And I told the other guys, I was like, hey, I don't see a problem with me playing with them or you or whatever. But they kind of were at least some of them are a little bit sore about it. So.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that doesn't affect, I guess we would call that an indie band, I don't know. Lots of contracts that are available through larger, more commercial bands that wouldn't have allowed you to do that, you're like, peace out. G2's got to go. Thank you very much, sir.
See you guys.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Sam.
We'll get you there. I love the way this is working out. Like, this is perfect. Two people have now left.
The guys that left the band left early.
Look at that.
The real core members are still here.
How likely is
Don't take it personally, people. They just got to go. It's late.
Yeah, it's late.
Wife and kids.
We actually had to move locations with stolen hour of your practice time. We had to move everything up.
Yes. But I guess I never answered the question, so I'll follow up with that.
That's okay.
Yeah,
that's a great story.
He stole me from another band. And basically, I've been in the band for a very long time, not since the beginning, but, you know. And
the second longest member.
Yeah.
Consecutive.
And basically, you know, it's hard for me to say, like, you know, what's your favorite, this or that. It's like so many years.
Yeah.
You know, it was like 10 years.
It's a lot of
almost.
Music to dig through to figure out which one's your favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost 10 years, and most of the music, you know, I had a part in, you know, at least recording it or whatever.
But I want to piggyback on that thought. Just because this is your last show, with the day and age that we're in, there's nothing stopping you from going back and still being a Soulfound fan. Your music is going to be on the internet for as long as, you know, if there's no worldwide power outage, Revolution style, then we can continue listening to your music wherever.
Yep. You can listen to most of our stuff on Grooveshark. I know it's on Grooveshark for sure. I don't think the entire catalog is on iTunes or anything like that, because the later stuff came down, and the old stuff isn't available. And actually, Grooveshark is a pretty good setup, because I can just upload what I want, and it's in the system. And they're a Gainesville company, so...
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, flow them a little love there. At Grooveshark.com. But yeah,
right,
most of the catalog is there. And, you know.
For a lot of the written blogs of the stories that we're talking about, I went through this past week and sort of updated all of the older Soulfound blurbs I used to write when I thought it was the shit. I don't write anymore. It's mostly, you know, music blogs. Bond is still a part of the whole Fenn thing.
Cool.
Yeah, after...
Yeah, he's killing it, dude. I like
he
his
is
stuff.
Killing
I listen
it.
To his stuff.
Yeah.
He was always great at that. He was always great at electronic
super,
stuff.
Super talented.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good dude. We started knowing each other because of you guys. And after he left Soulfound, we started our own thing. And it's crazy how every one of us is doing our own thing. One of the themes of this podcast, one of the reasons I left my 9-to-5 job was because of this podcast. I was miserable with what I was doing in life, even though I had a graphics job, what I went to school for. I wanted to do graphics, but now I do them for myself, for the site, for my friends, business cards, stuff like that, websites. It's about doing what makes you happy and monetizing it without bastardizing it. And very few people can do that. Soulfound's done it. I'm trying to do it. Because if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't have met Aaron, and the music blog would have probably died when Soulfound never got to play their last show. But as things turn out, here we are, fast forward this many years later. State Theater, one of my favorite venues that you guys have ever played at, along with... Well, Weak Sauce, pretty much, is the first time I went to State Theater to see you guys play together. What are your thoughts about playing your last show at State Theater? Was that your first choice and only choice, or were you looking at different places?
Yeah, it wasn't our first choice. Originally, we were going to do it at Gasoline Alley, because that kind of was our home base.
Which also has changed venues since you guys were around.
Well,
while you guys
no,
were
we,
still around, right?
Yeah, no, we played the new one, the old one and the
right,
new one.
Right.
The old one was our stomping grounds, and then when it moved to the new place, we had our Is a Rock Band City release party there, and it was huge.
Yeah, I remember.
That's
when I first met.
Good night.
It was a good night. Spent a lot of money.
I'm going to edit that out.
But, no,
what's up, Channing? I love you still.
Yeah, I haven't seen her in a while.
I believe she's back in Florida. I hope to see her at the show. Hopefully.
Right.
I think I invited her. I'm not sure.
But, yeah, so Gas Alley was the first choice. Unfortunately, Gas Alley closed down. I knew that they were having trouble staying open. I mean, the scene in North Pinellas is pretty bleak.
Once a venue has been around for so long and they change locations, it's kind of a bad sign, don't you think?
No,
unless
not at all.
Unless they're expanding.
Well, they upgraded. I mean, it was an upgrade. That old place was a dingy little,
hole in the wall.
Maybe 100 people, with 100 people in that old place, it was packed. And, the new place was bigger. They were hoping to get bigger crowds. I think capacity was like 400 or 500. So, I mean, it was what it was, but they just, that where it is, I guess, I figured it would be a good location, but I guess North Pinellas isn't a hotbed for music.
One of the, I think you guys had played at also another venue that saw a little bit of trouble, the outside one, what was it called? Completely, help me out here, Aaron. Janice Landing, Janice Live now.
Yeah.
You guys played there before too, right?
They had trouble financially, the owners, taxes, something to do with taxes.
Yeah, something happened, but they're much better now. They have a great thing going.
They got rid of those poles in the middle.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
These guys have a fantastic operation. I got to see the behind-the-scenes stuff maybe about a year ago, a year and a half ago, and the stuff they're doing with,
they're
live video.
Really got their shit together.
Yeah, man. I mean, they just opened Club Detroit again, which is awesome.
One attached behind it, correct?
In front.
There was one in the back. There's a Tamiami.
Yeah, Tamiami in the back. We played there a bunch of times.
Yeah, I remember that too.
It's called something else.
Yeah. They've revamped that whole placement, and that's the greatest thing they could have done, I think, for that venue. But.
So what finally ended up making the decision to State Theater?
Well, actually, we wanted Local 662 because it was smaller, and we figured that's
right across the street.
Yeah, it's the same people that kind of run it.
They finally got a liquor license, I hear. They were only able to sell beer before, right?
Good for them.
Yeah. We did our video release party.
Yeah, we did our video when it was the garage.
That's right.
When it was the garage, we did that. But, Local 662 was a good choice after that because
$2 PBR.
We draw better in St. Pete than in Tampa. And
which is very interesting to me.
Yeah, Tampa was always tough for us. I don't know why. We used to play, Crowbar. We played Masquerade. We used to play Pegasus.
Crowbar is now more of a hip-hop joint, to be honest with you. They do a lot of... I was there for a fundraiser for my boy Orlando. He's on the whole 489 Entertainment Group music roster. There was a lot of shows consecutively at Crowbar, where it used to be rock, 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 hip-hop, rock, 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 rock. Now it's like hip-hop, hip-hop, and it's mostly shitty, except for when we throw it.
Finish the story. No, I know. Got to drop it. Local was booked, and we wanted that venue because we figured we could definitely pack it because, 150 people in that place looks super packed.
Right.
And we wanted to, do the show and have a packed house, but then it wasn't available. And when we were talking to the booking guy, J-Rock, over at State, he said, "Why don't you do it at State?" I said, "Okay." So at first we were kind of like, big venue, but whatever. If we're going to go out, just go out on a big stage, and if nobody comes out, then at least we put on a good show on a big stage. But then I talked Weak Sauce into reuniting. And
how was that for you?
It was easy, actually. I don't know what they were trying to get it going for a while. I know that the guys have been talking and a couple of failed attempts, but I just...
Didn't their lead singer move?
He went to Costa Rica for like a year, but he came back. He's been in town for a while.
Has he? I can't wait to see him again, dude.
Yeah, no, I was hanging out with Paul, the drummer, mm-hmm. and I asked him flat out, I was like, "Hey, what's the deal?"
Is it honeycutdrums.com?
Honeycut. And I've talked to him for a little bit and kind of felt him out, and he said, "Yeah, I'm down. Let's make it happen." I said, "Okay, are you sure? I'll make it happen." I'm like, he's like, "Okay." He didn't think I was going to be able to do it. So 24 hours later, I said, "Weeks, this is in." We just had to get. I think Eric was the one that took the longest because he was in Guatemala at the time.
When I saw that, I was like, "No fucking way!" I was like, "This is going to be dope."
So once they were on board, I figured it was going to be a good night. And then we went through a couple of other old bands that we were going to get on the bill for the reunion. Knowing Stu was one of them. We were going to get...
Holy shit, I just realized I was wearing the Knowing Stu shirt.
Yep.
Saw that earlier.
Wow! That was not planned at all.
The Stu was going to be on there, and those guys are rocking it up in Atlanta. Those guys
have
big things going.
Yes, they
and,
do.
They couldn't make it.
You know, I was supposed to move out there with them to be part of their production house. I should have done that.
Should have done it.
But I still talk to Shane and them. I love that whole. Their whole family is just great. Good people.
So they were going to play it, and they couldn't. So also Rumors of War.
Damn, that would have been the shit if we could see Knowing Stu again, man.
That was the plan.
Damn.
And Rumors of War was also going to play. I don't know if you remember those guys.
A little bit.
We used to play with them all the time, too.
They're a little heavier, right?
They were more like Thursday, more kind of like that kind of heavier emo kind of rock.
Yeah,
they were fantastic.
Awesome.
I mean, those
good
guys
were
so
show,
tight.
Yeah.
And Ben's vocals were so great. I mean, those guys love the same bands we love, you know, so we used to play with them in Bradenton all the time.
You know who I really like that you guys played with, who I still listen to? I can't believe I'm fucking spacing on the name now. All I can see is their album cover. It's a shuttle with wings.
Grey Market.
Grey Market. Fucking
duo.
Love that. Those are two brothers, right?
No, they're not brothers.
I thought they were brothers.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think so.
I might be mistaken on that.
No. Cave and Mike. Those guys were doing really good. I actually haven't seen them in a while.
I still get emails from their tour dates and stuff like that. So as of this time last year, they were still touring. I don't know if they still are, but
cool.
You guys introduced me to Ten Spoke Indies as well.
Yeah.
Anybody familiar with the local indie rock music scene knows everybody that we're talking about. At some point in time, you've heard these people because they're really the only good thing to come out of the Tampa Bay area is the indie rock scene through the Soulfound era and beyond. It's faded out a little bit, but tomorrow night you were talking about trying to pack out Local 662. What are your expectations at State Theater for who's going to show up? Is it going to look bare? I mean,
no, I don't think it'll be bare. I think we have a magic number that we want to hit, and based on the RSVPs on the Facebook, we might hit that. So we'll see.
Maybe.
I think 300 looks good. I think that's my prediction. 300 through the door. I don't know if they'll stay throughout the whole night, but I know because you know our styles are a little different, but we'll see how it goes. We're planning on having a good time, and we have a lot of diehards coming up.
Yeah.
We have friends and fans coming in from all over
you
the state.
You have some of the most loyal fan base I've ever seen in my life. People that I've seen in Tampa at some of your shows ended up in Daytona. Like, I fucking know this guy. They will drive out to see you guys wherever you go, and you can't really say that about too many bands out there.
We had a lot of guys that come in. I just started seeing people checking at hotels on Facebook.
That's
and
awesome.
People coming from South Florida. There's a lot of people coming. Some of our good friends coming from Gainesville. I know there's a couple people coming.
Smith.
Jacksonville.
Pat.
Yep. So, if anything, they'll be like you know people having a good time. That's all that matters.
Hell yeah.
I mean, mostly like you know our wives and girlfriends or whatever that used to come to all the shows. They'll get to see us play.
Well, that's another thing. It's like you guys are older. Some of you have formed families since the last time I saw you, and I just think that this is going to be
cathartic.
Yes.
And closure, because actually
closure.
How everything ended, it kind of sucked because, I mean, and I'm going to dovetail into that conversation because I really wanted to talk about that.
Go
it's
ahead.
Like, it felt so unresolved. I mean, we were making a movie about ourselves with a guy who's like really into the band as well. Like after kind of you went your own way, this guy came on board and started, you know, he wanted to get us some video projects going. So we were making a movie and we were really into it. We had.
Please
you know,
tell me his name was Darren too.
No.
All right.
He wasn't. He was white. And by the way, you did a fantastic job. You put yourself down, and I get that. I know that's your shtick, but
yeah,
you were very passionate, and we loved having you around.
Thank you, man.
I mean, that
I appreciate that.
Anytime anybody expresses interest in wanting to do anything with us, we were always very grateful for that. And hopefully, we communicated it to you enough. And if we didn't, then I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
But anyways, we were making this fucking movie.
And?
Yeah, it was like all this stuff started happening, you know? It was crazy.
Actually, move back a little bit to the Is a Rock Band release party, because that's kind of like the beginning of the end, unfortunately. At that time, I founded Mohawk Bomb Records to try to, like, and...
At Mohawk Bomb on Twitter?
Yeah, but not... Yeah, that's
or not.
Dead. That's dead.
That.
No, I'm on
edit
Twitter
here.
With that. It's okay.
Just kidding.
But kind of put that together. That was my LLC.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some money from the guitar player at the time, Jonathan. He helped us get some funds to get things going. So that was really good. We really wanted to make a really big go at it. So we recorded the album. We planned a big show. We spend money in advertising. We advertise everywhere. I mean, I learned about media buys and just doing that.
Yep.
I mean, we bought a TV, we bought radio, we bought billboards, we bought movie theater ads.
Not cheap, people. Anybody that doesn't know,
we got a good deal. I mean, but we spend a good amount of money, and frankly, we spent more on advertising than we did on our album, which fucking was a bad thing, but whatever. But then we went to California.
Yep.
To promote it. And we had some good, we had some good bands. I had put out the first No Lip Comp at the time, so we had some bands in California, and it was good. We had a, It was a good little thing we're trying out. But anyways, while we're out there, Jonathan started having seizures on stage.
Oh, crap, I remember that.
And we were playing in Anaheim, I think it was, and, like, we're rocking out. We have a half-an-hour set. There's some people there. It was good. It was, like, the best show that we ever had, like, when we were out there.
That happened during that show.
Yeah. There's a recording of this.
Oh, my God.
And Jonathan just, like, collapsed. Like, somebody turned off the switch. Like, what's like in The Matrix, when they unplug you and you just fall down.
Yeah, not like this.
It was exactly like that.
Movie reference.
Like,
and he would pop up too.
And he would just pop back up. Like,
he wouldn't know what to do. Like, I was playing drums, so these guys might not have seen him immediately.
What a crazy feeling.
But I just saw him crumble, and then I'm like, holy shit, and I almost stopped playing. But then he just pops up like a friggin' Jesus.
He got
holy shit, let me keep playing. And it was scary though, because he was like, on a stage, it's not the safest place to just be dropping
your
body, with a guitar strapped around you.
Yeah, so you guys had told me that story, but I didn't know that was the show that was being recorded for your big push.
Well, the thing is, it's like we were out there, but then ever since then there was like a string of things that kept happening. He messed up his shoulder, he messed up his knee because he was falling on stage, and he had surgery. And all this time, we're like, we just spent a bunch of money, we're trying to get the word out there, and we can't really play that much.
You guys should have started a gimmick where he comes out in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
I think we
sat down at a show, even like one of the shows. He fell down and he just was hurt, and so we just finished the set sitting down. I mean, that's all we could do at the time.
And he hurt his knee.
Yeah, and he hurt his knee.
That's some dedication, man.
I mean, he was a bullheaded guy, so he wasn't gonna finish the set.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I mean, that's awesome, and that just speaks to his character. But we had to, we did that for a while. And
you still talk to him? How is he doing?
Actually, I've talked to him maybe twice since we parted ways. He just, came into our life quickly and left just as quickly.
Yeah.
Really haven't really kept in touch. He hasn't made an effort, and I called him a couple times. I sent him an email when we started talking about the reunion stuff.
Interesting.
To see if he was, what he was doing.
Wonder if he shows up tomorrow.
Probably not.
No?
It'd be great.
Right.
But anyways, just getting there, this is progressing, and then we decide, okay, we can't play a lot of shows, so at least let's just try to do something. And then we started thinking about, let's just make this movie, because it'd be kind of cool just to document this. And
I want to see this movie.
Well, yeah, me too. Well, and towards the end, it was February, again, which is weird, because that's when SoulFam played its first show, February 16th of 99. That was the first show. And
then
we played in Gainesville February, I think, 27th or 28th of 2009, right?
Yeah.
So it was like 10 years almost to the day. And we were playing in Gainesville, and we were kind of, billing that we were going to call it something like Last Stand Gator Town just for fun, just because it was kind of a cool name for it.
Sure.
And fuck it.
That had a cool name for your show.
But it ended up being the last fucking show. Like, our show in Gainesville ended up being the last show, because after that, we never really, he was going through surgery and doing all this stuff, and it was just like, at that point, I was just like, whatever, we're done. Because, we'd gone through so many guitar player changes.
Yeah,
I'd
gone through a lot of that.
Yeah, I was, I'm the more negative one, if anything. Dan's, more positive. That's just my, creative comes with that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I was burnt out. I was like, I don't want to go through another guitar player. We've already gone through enough. I don't want to have
to. Got to be frustrated.
Because you can't move forward.
Yeah.
Teaching them over and over again.
Yeah.
Having to play again.
Yeah.
The songs.
Letting
over,
them fall into their over. Own groove. And it's just a learning process that you can't really handle with every single person.
Because it's not like it was like all we were doing. I mean, we all had jobs, and we all had, at the time, girlfriends and all that stuff, and lives that we had to kind of be part of. It wasn't like we were just like a signed band that could easily put anybody in there that had to learn your songs as part of a contract and you just keep going. It wasn't like that. It was like every time it was like a new relationship. It was like a divorce. And it was like a new relationship, and
there
was baggage.
That's rough, man.
Baggage got moved around. I mean, that's with every guitar player we've had, it's been the problem. And I think actually the only smooth transition was when Sam joined, because
he was on point.
Because Pick took the time and taught him the songs, and you know, and he knew he was a fan, he was into it, and it was like an easy transition because we didn't really have to belabor the song so much. I mean, we had to get tight, but that was a lot easier.
Yeah.
Than having to start over.
It comes with practice and experience. You just have to fall into that sort of line with each other.
So the video artist.
Yeah. So yeah.
He ends up
disappearing.
Absolutely disappearing.
The guy shooting your movie.
So we shot like we went to Gas Alley on a weeknight and we shot fan interviews. Like we asked our fans. Like there was like at least a couple dozen people interviewed that night with two cameras. We were trying to get a nice little thing going. We played a show, which was okay. I think there's some footage of that in my camera. And then we were playing like two or three shows that week on top of that, the Gainesville show being the kind of the capstone for it. So the plan was to us do like this kind of thing, talking about the evolution of the band and the history and all that stuff, and then intersplice the fan footage and then the live footage and the little thing. It would have been maybe half an hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was the goal. But then I got married. Actually, that's like I got married the week after that.
Was there a title for this Soulfound documentary?
I think that was my working title, The Last Stand of Gator Town, because it was going to be.
That's
like,
a good title for a documentary.
That was just my idea. I don't know if I was going to stick or not, but that was just what I was thinking. Which was
Soulfound is a documentary.
Yeah. Ah, that's funny. That's a good one.
that was a week before my wedding, and I talked to the guy before I left. I talked to him, you know, like. It was funny because I remember he was like the last guy I probably talked to before I got, you know, I was going away into my week, you know, 10-day wedding hiatus. I came back from my honeymoon. I had a message from him. He was the first guy I called when I got back to U.S. soil for my honeymoon. And I called him. I said, hey, what's up? You know, I've been out of town. I was gone for a week. It wasn't like I was gone for 10 years. And it's not like we weren't available any other way. I mean, MySpace was easy. He was on MySpace. He knew our email. You know, I think he had somebody else's number.
For our younger listeners, MySpace is something that happened before Facebook, okay?
And anyways, this guy just disappeared, up and disappeared, and it's been the mystery of
he's
this.
Got all this Soulfound footage.
He has a crap load of footage.
Lots of shows.
Oh,
really
my
good shows.
God.
And he was good. He was, and we have, there's some of the shows are on YouTube. Actually, with G2, when he came down to fill in, there's like a whole set of Buddha Bar in Fort Myers shows on YouTube, and that's from his footage.
So if you're out there, Mike.
Yeah, Mike. What the hell, man?
We want to see this Soulfound as a documentary.
No hard feelings. Just come back.
We love you.
I emailed him. I called him. I'm
also
relentless.
The footage is there still.
Yeah. I was relentless about it. I don't know what happened. I really don't know what happened.
Interesting.
That whole thing was a mystery. And at that point, I'm like, whatever. With Jonathan kind of out, and I think actually the last time we played together was in April. Creative Loafing. We did their podcast, and we played a couple songs live, and that was the last time all of us were together in a room.
Wow.
And it took a while for me to announce that we broke up. I think it took, like, a while after that.
I was devastated. I think it's, like, the first time I almost cried for a band breaking
almost.
Up. Like somebody died. I'm sure I shed a tear. Shed a tear? Shed a tear.
I'm not the only one who's stumbling here.
What was the other one? Mostly.
Mostly. Stop it.
So... I mean, I'm learning a bunch of new stuff. I had no idea, and
dude, we have so many stories to tell you.
I wish we had time for all of it.
Yeah, and just a segue, you know, because that's how the band pretty much ended some months later. But we actually started getting together again before this year, because we played like at least
a year
two practices over the last couple of years. Which most people don't really know.
So you guys knew ahead of time, obviously, that you were going to do this.
Well, we always kind of said we'd probably do a closure show.
Right.
And then, like, almost a year and a half ago, we started to try to get it going with Pick, us three, Sam, Disco, myself, and Pick. And, you know, we practiced two or three times, and then, again, things just kind of went cold, you know, and everybody got busy, and it wasn't until G2... moved down back to Miami.
Yeah.
He was living in Boston, and he decided he came down, and him and I were talking, and he's like, I'll play. I'm like, let's do it. And then that was the fire that Pick needed to get back on board, I guess. And
yeah, and we pretty much decided to do it on our
fire,
own.
Fire, also the name of one of my favorite songs that they play.
Yeah, I think the beauty, because, you know, we talk about the fans, and it's been a long relationship, you know, and everything, but we kind of, like, just did it on our own. You know, we really didn't do it for this person or that person. We did it for ourselves.
That's the key right there.
A big bonus. Yeah. You know? And it was inspiring because now we have three guitar players, and we could do some cool stuff, and you know, really kind of, we could kind of push the sound that maybe we never had.
For sure.
And sometimes, you know, it was really cool. And I think we're all kind of inspired again when we started doing it again a little bit, because we'd all been, Ivan and I have been real busy doing lots of other musical projects, and kind of, you know, I got jaded on doing some of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's because a lot of it's not really your own sometimes.
Well,
some of it is. You know, we've done stuff together, you know, but...
It's interesting. We've been talking for almost an hour, and that's the first time the word jaded has come up in the conversation, because it's not something that you guys are... it's not synonymous with you, you know what I mean? I want to start wrapping it up here. Is that cool?
Yeah, absolutely.
I am eager to see, first of all, to the listeners, I'm hoping to get some extra behind-the-scenes stuff the actual day of the show, which is tomorrow. So if I guess what I'm getting at is that there may be bits and pieces of this podcast that are edited, which I don't do a lot because I'm really lazy. It's kind of the whole reason A Week Late even exists, is because the idea behind it was wanting to do movie reviews without ruining the actual movie for somebody, and the only way to do that is to come out with it late. Plus, I'm lazy and broke, and I probably won't make it to the first night a movie comes out.
Who wants to, though, at that point? Who wants to go sit and wait in line and be packed in the movie theater, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the experience. Actually, if you're with the right people, it can be super fun.
Yeah.
But I'm not even going to mention the horror, because you guys may not even hear the next episode. Iron Man 3 episode was a disaster. That being said, the final minutes of this, what are you watching on TV right now, if anything, or what's the latest movie that you've seen?
I'm a junkie. I'm a binger.
Me too.
I'm going through a phase. I have three things that I'm binging on. I'm binging on episodes of Inside the Actor's Studio.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. I think I've probably logged about 80 of them now. I think I'm on
the Al Pacino one.
Yeah.
My favorite one was Michael J. Fox, man.
That was a good one.
That one made me cry.
That was a good one. I've seen both. There's like a couple of different like guys that have been on it twice. Like Tom Hanks had two visits, I think.
The Simpsons one was good.
The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman had two. And actually,
really?
I like him a lot after watching him.
Mark Wahlberg do one?
Wahlberg, I saw that one.
It does make you look at these actors in a different light.
Yeah, they're people, you know?
Yeah.
It's cool. I like it. Plus, you learn a lot about the craft and stuff, and I'm always into that. So, I'm catching up finally. I'm on season 4 of The Wire.
Oh, I have yet to start watching that.
The Wire is probably the best cop show ever made, hands down.
Wow.
And as far as movies, I'm behind on new stuff, just because I don't get out to the movies anymore.
Yeah.
I think the one that I want to watch next is Prometheus. Finally, I haven't. You know,
okay.
That's on my queue. I just want to watch it. I like Fassbender. I think he's great. And I started watching A Simple Plan, and I'm like halfway through. That was the last movie I started watching.
When you're done watching Prometheus, we did an episode of A Week Late on it. Go listen to that and text me and let me know if you agree with my my findings on that movie.
Thing is, I love watching movies. You have no idea. I dedicate 3, 4, 5 hours sometimes on weeknights when I shouldn't. I gotta go to work.
Me too.
And I just binge on stuff. I mean, like, you know,
it's the best shows. It's the best thing to do.
It's like, it's amazing how much stuff I consume on a weekly basis, but it's like, I'm so behind. You can never catch up.
I know. There's too much.
I have Netflix, I got Amazon, and I have HBO Go, and I still can't. I'm watching Game of Thrones, by the way, and
wow.
Mad Men.
I have yet to watch Mad Men, but it's in my Netflix right
now.
Walking Dead. Yes. Love Walking Dead. I did a Halloween episode on Walking Dead.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Breaking Bad. Awesome, but it's...
Sure.
I'm behind on Breaking Bad. And Sons of Anarchy, one of the greatest shows as well, I think. But yeah, Walking Dead, I've been trying to keep up with that live. All the AMC shows I'm trying to keep up with live.
Yeah.
Because they're harder to get, you know, legally online.
The Walking Dead, right. The Walking Dead, I'm all caught up on. I think we just got through season 3 or 4, if I'm not mistaken.
Three just wrapped up.
Four's
coming in October.
Pretty good. I'm not going to mention any spoilers, but we did an episode, we did a season 1 recap of Walking Dead for a Halloween episode, And then for Easter this year, I was going to do season two as sort of a joke to things coming back to life. Didn't fly, though. I got lazy, and I didn't do that. Plus, it's also blasphemous. My father's a minister, and I'd probably go straight to hell.
Actually, Jesus wasn't a zombie.
Zombie Jesus is a big thing right now, man.
He wasn't a zombie, though. He didn't come out wanting brains.
Yeah,
there's a word for that. There's actually a word. I remember seeing an article about this, and it's like a lick or something like that.
Uh-huh.
L-I-C-H is the term for what Jesus was.
Really?
We gotta look it up. Look it up and correct me.
I have not seen a single episode.
But he wasn't a zombie, dude. He wasn't like all rotten and
No, I know. It's just funny because
Jesus was a lichen.
And it's not a lichen, it's like a lick.
A lick.
I never heard the word before.
Oh,
he was a lichen. He's gonna be in the next underworld.
He's gonna be in the next underworld. Sam, what about you? What are you watching? TV or movie wise?
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Really?
New and old.
Interesting.
David Tennant is still my favorite Doctor of all time.
I hate Matt Smith, man.
I think he's grown. He's really grown, I think.
He killed it for me. Amy Pond is my favorite companion.
One of the reasons I started this podcast was because Bond turned me on to the Nerdist podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I started listening to that podcast from episode one. And that's what really inspired me to make my own podcast because
Hardwick is a man.
There's no stopping him. He's actually in with Legendary now. The movie company, Legendary. He does stuff with Star Wars and Lucasfilm and all that shit. He's blowing the fuck up. And I'm not trying to copycat him, or rather, maybe I am because his business plan works. There's nothing better like Google, who can give stuff away and still be a bajillionaire. So
Hardwick has been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
That guy's been building his network. He was the host of Singled Out in the 90s.
This is the thing I modeled my business plan after, and it's pretty much, you know, like I said, do what makes you happy. Make sure you're not hurting anyone when you do it. And make sure that you're not bastardizing what you want, because after a while you won't like it anymore. Keep it fun. What else, though? The reason that sparked me is because you mentioned Doctor Who, and he's a huge, he's got his own TV show now on BBC America, so
the podcasts are
turning into TV shows.
The only thing I have a problem with Chris Hardwick, and I really, really hope he...
Bet it here.
I really hope he hears this.
He doesn't listen to my podcast.
I know, but maybe one day he will.
I hope he does.
No, I am a big fan of him and his network, and I've been listening to him for a couple years. But my problem with him is that he and his buddies, Jonah Ray and Matt Myra,
yes, sir.
They make fun of Florida all the time, which is fine.
So does everybody else on the face of the planet.
Which is why I'm saying that
right.
It's totally fine. But my issue is, make fun of us, but come fucking have a show here.
Right.
And make jokes in front of us, because, you know, we are nerds here too.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, Florida has crappy weather. Who cares? Come visit us.
And a lot of meth heads.
You have fans. It doesn't matter.
And you might get shot. You might get shot. But
oh, whatever. I'm watching, I'm catching up on Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
I had that on my queue. I have yet to listen or watch it.
It's good.
I went through that quickly. I was watched the entire season, the entire series, plus the I started watching Chrome, Blood and Chrome, whatever it's called, the next one. And it's fantastic. I'm like jumping in on your question.
No, that's okay.
Right. I'm a sci-fi geek, dude.
Yeah.
I love
American Horror Story is really good. Let's see. Torchwood, man, like that Torchwood. I want to.
Torchwood is Doctor Who anime.
I want to, but I feel like they ruined Captain Jack's character a little bit. Before, I really liked that he was more of a omnisexual, and then which I think was really kind of a cool way of playing a character, and then they kind of turned him to where he only likes males. You know, before he liked male, female, alien, doesn't matter what you are,
he
always hit on
regardless,
him, which is really cool.
What about Firefly?
Firefly, always been a fan of Firefly.
Yeah,
Serenity, those were great shows. I'm so happy for Joss Whedon and everything.
Avengers and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. He totally deserves that popularity.
And Disco doesn't watch TV, so we don't even ask him the question.
What was the latest movie you saw?
Movie?
Yeah.
The remake of Evil Dead probably was the most
recent.
Yeah, it was good. I can't complain about it. It was, it was probably what I wanted out of a remake.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Disco, you're the most recent movie you've seen?
We went and saw X-Men like 5 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't go to the theater anymore.
For anybody.
We haven't been to the movie theater in over 5 years.
All right. So there you go.
YouTube it, baby.
Well, I think that's it. We're wrapped up. We're done. Thank you for listening. Hopefully we'll get a little bit more behind the scenes, some interviews tomorrow after the show. Everybody that went to the show, thank you for coming out. I know it's going to be great. And that does it for this portion. If there's going to be more, episode 54 of A Week Late Podcast / 489 Entertainment Group Music Extravaganza episode. Thank you for listening. Hit us up at aweeklate.com, facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast.
Check out wheezydogs.com.
That's right.
Yeah, wheezydogs.
Wheezydogs.com/facebook.
That's all right. This episode has been brought to you by Wheezy Dogs, the best.
Sorry.
You don't have to add anything. The best dogs in Tampa Bay. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hands down. Finest hot dogs.
Go check it out, Wheezy Dogs. That's it. I think that's it. If you have any questions, comments, if you'd like to ask anybody a question, what is it? fans.aweeklate@gmail.com. Go to 489entertainment.com for all things music and more pictures, behind-the-scenes stuff. That's it. Thank you for listening. We're out. Peace.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, guys.